Now, Checkpoint can tonight reveal County's Manukau DHB initially declined to accept a COVID-positive patient from Fiji. And the Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, questioned why Australia wasn't asked to take the woman. Documents released under the Official Information Act shed more light on the mad scramble between health officials and DHBs in July to make special arrangements for the United Nations employee to travel from Suva to Auckland for critical treatment. The woman was released from Middlemore last month after 76 days in hospital. The trove of emails and texts give further clues about the role played by the former Prime Minister and ex-UNDP boss Helen Clark. Our reporter Nick Troubridge is outside Middlemore Hospital and joins us now. Nick, tell us some more about the rush to accommodate this official from Fiji.
Yeah, well, as you've mentioned, Lisa, a real rush it was. We're talking health officials here and at the Ministry in Wellington, coming up with everything, really, from transport plans, of course, to get that person from Suva to Auckland, and then, of course, treatment plans while they were here as well. You mentioned also Ashley Bloomfield questioning why this individual was coming to New Zealand instead of Australia. Well, the documents also reveal, and I'm talking lists of texts and lists of emails, correspondence like that, they reveal that the reason was Geneva got involved. We are talking the highest levels of the UN who decided that New Zealand would be the best place for this individual to come, Lisa.
And so there was a U-turn in the end by health authorities on this one?
Absolutely, and that U-turn has been reported. As we've reported on Checkpoint already, the U-turn came, the initial decline, I should say, of this patient came because of capacity reasons. But what we know is that U-turn was made after the Ministry of Health became involved. There's one email in particular in this trove of documents that shows ministry officials contacting officials here at Middlemore and asking a lot of questions, really, around whether they had exhausted all reasons that they have to go through to decline an individual, Lisa. The other thing they pointed out in that email was that New Zealand must treat UN officials like they would any other officials. So whether that official's from New Zealand or not, all UN officials must be treated the same. So Middlemore were questioned quite thoroughly, really, by the Ministry of Health about that as well.
And what about Helen Clark's involvement in all of this?
Yeah, well, the Ministry's really been at pains, Lisa, to point out to us that Helen Clark did not make the decision and did not ask for this medevac to Auckland to take place. But what they have said, or what the documents do show, is what I should say rather, is that Helen Clark was involved in this. She had her fingers all over this, whether it's phone calls to ministry officials, keeping them updated, or Ministry of Health officials, keeping them updated on where things are at. We've also got a text here from Ministry of Foreign Affairs staff saying they understand Helen Clark has been working the phones. The other thing is we know Helen Clark was calling Nanaia Mahuta about this. Of course, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, she has previously come on our show and come on other RNZ shows saying that Helen Clark did not influence her decision. But what is clear is that she was very involved in this.
So has the county's Manukau DHB had anything to say about this today?
Yeah, we've spoken to the county's Manukau DHB comms team. We wanted to know particularly why that decision to initially decline this medevac was reversed. We wanted to talk to Pete Watson, who was the Chief Medical Officer of Health. Failing him, we were keen to talk to Mardiapa, who is, of course, CEO of Middlemore Hospital here in Auckland. They have declined to comment. Lisa, the other person that is key to all this, Helen Clark. We asked her on a number of occasions today whether she could talk to us. We haven't heard back from her either.
Well, COVID is expensive when it comes to treatment, so who paid?
Yeah, well, it appears the UN paid for the actual treatment itself, Lisa. We haven't got absolute confirmation of that, but we do have a document showing the UN did pledge to pay for this treatment. What we still don't know, though, is how much all of this, I'm talking organising the treatment, organising the transport costs, which of course fell on Ministry of Health officials and New Zealand health officials generally, how much all of that costs. So we're not sure of the ultimate costs. And people at home might be asking, Why is this so important? This person clearly needed treatment, so why couldn't they come to Middlemore? What's the issue here, really? Well, to give this some context, Fiji, as of today, has had 52,000 COVID cases. To put that in even more context, New Zealand has had just over 11,000 cases of COVID, Lisa. And you'll remember when this was happening back in July, we had people coming out of the woodwork, people like human rights activists, really questioning why this individual deserved what would appear to be, going off these documents, special treatment, when there were so many others in Fiji who needed the same but weren't getting it.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Trowbridge joining us live from Middlemore Hospital.